The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 24. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land and on rich pasture. They shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke in the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I promise that when we were coming up with a good day for the baptism, I didn't specifically look at the readings and say, this is the day we should do it. But what a great and perfect day. If you don't mind, I might keep using Amelia as my illustration for a little bit. All right. Of course, the word that appears in our readings here time and again, you might have heard in the Old Testament reading, thank you, the word I 24 times. Good job. I counted because it was fun to do. But then also the word that actually appears several times in our gospel reading that really is the focus of today is the word rejoice. Rejoice. You see, in our gospel reading, which picks up after last week's reading when we talked about salt and saltiness, and we had that good time talking about chemistry. It was very exciting, for me at least. I don't know about you, hopefully. As we pick up in the time following, Jesus has already told people, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And today, we pick up. They're walking along the wayside, and the tax collectors and the sinners are all getting closer to Jesus also, and they get angry. They start grumbling, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." We see that people have listened to what Jesus said, and there is this group of people following him. Some of them have ears to hear, and they want to keep hearing what Jesus has to tell them. And others are really just enjoying grumbling about who those people are. Who are these people following Jesus? These tax collectors, these sinners, these people who really, they don't deserve, maybe, to hear God's word, to hear that God loves them. These are people who are truly sinful, that should not be around here. And the Pharisees just can't imagine that this Jesus, who claims to be from God, would be spending so much time with them. What an awful situation to find yourself in. Can you imagine being those people who just want to hear about Jesus, and there's these Pharisees grumbling loud enough that people are hearing it? Jesus hears this and begins to tell them these two parables. You wonder if afterwards, whether or not these Pharisees truly had ears to hear or not about it. But he wants to tell them these parables, these stories, for them to change their thinking and truly to have their hearts changed. That rather than grumbling, which using the same word as the people during the Exodus, wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, the same word is used for grumbling. Those people who are grumbling against God, "Why would you do things this way? Clearly you don't have it figured out. It shouldn't take us 40 years to get through the desert, God. Come on." That same grumbling the people did then, they're doing now with Jesus. "Jesus, you're not doing it the right way. Why are you bringing these people along? Why are you spending time with these tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus wants them to have a change of heart and mind. He wants them to rejoice. So in our parable here, similar to our Old Testament reading, we have this shepherd who wants to go and save a lost sheep. And as Jesus begins this parable, he asks them a question that is a pretty weird question. You wonder if it was rhetorical, and if after he asked it, if he like waited for a while and people are looking around kind of confused. He says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. Which one of you wouldn't do this, right? Would you not leave your 99 sheep just wandering around in the open wilderness to go find the lost one? Well, no, Jesus, that sounds crazy. Why would I do that? They might get lost. They might wander. Even if you had one other shepherd, and I was doing some research on this, typically one shepherd for approximately 30 to 40 sheep, so maybe there's other shepherds, maybe, but that's not part of the story. Either way, there's now going to be more sheep than the amount of shepherds that should have been there to look after them. Which one of you would not leave those sheep to go and find the lost one? Well, that sounds like a crazy thing. Sounds like maybe not the smartest shepherd. But this is a shepherd who cares dearly about each and every lost sheep, similar to Cubby, the stuffed animal. We care dearly about this sheep, and I want to go find them. This shepherd acts differently than all the other shepherds would. This shepherd of God is acting differently than the Pharisees, who are supposed to be the shepherds of God's people, are currently acting. Jesus wants to go and seek and save the lost sheep of Israel, the lost sheep of God's people. He wants to go and bring them back to the Father. Which of you shepherds, you Pharisees, would not do the same? Oh, none of you. That's right. That's why I'm here. He's telling this story to bring them around to the right understanding. He finds the sheep, throws it over his shoulder, comes back and says with me, "Rejoice, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. What I just kind of walked you through, by the way, is a really fun bit of Hebrew poetry. It's a fun thing called a chiasm. I'm very excited. This is my plug for next week's Bible study time at 8:30 in the morning. For a short amount of time, we're going to go through Hebrew poetry until the middle of October when Dr. Barecki is going to take over Sunday school. But only for a couple of weeks, so we can go and have a baby. I want to come back. I like it. It's too much fun. Sorry. During Bible study, we're going to go over chiasms. It's a part of Hebrew poetry that show where the main focus of a story is supposed to be. And the main focus of this story with the sheep is not the shepherds or even the good shepherd or anything else. It's the rejoicing over the lost sheep that is found and brought back. And the same is true of our next parable here. This other parable, this woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one of them. There's a lot of good research on what this might refer to, maybe a headdress, and these coins are a part of a dowry. All very exciting stuff. I won't go into all of it right now, but maybe I will next week at our chiasm class. Instead, as he tells this story, right, the woman, she loses the coin. She lights a lamp. She brings a light into the world to go and search for this lost coin. That sounds vaguely familiar also. The light of the world, which has come into the darkness, to search for the lost. Jesus is the light here also. The one who comes in to help seek and save the lost coin. The coin is found. And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Suffice to say, this is a very special coin. It's not just a penny that's lost on the ground. This coin was special enough that she calls together the whole community and says, "I have found this great lost coin. Rejoice with me." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Whether it's one sheep lost in the wilderness, one coin lost in a dark room between a floorboard, or more importantly, one of us that would be in darkness and in sin without our Savior Jesus, there is joy, rejoicing over every single one who has life in Jesus' name. That's why I love that we clap in church. We celebrate the great joy at a new baptism. What a wonderful thing. We rejoice that all of us are saved, and we rejoice that God has blessed all of us and called us his children or his sheep and brought us into his fold. That Amelia is with us there too. That God has called many, many people, thousands, millions, all over the world and throughout history into his family. We are so thankful and we rejoice over every lost one. Now, if we were to take these stories and put ourselves into them, I imagine there have been times where I have been maybe like the Pharisees, and I'd say, well, you know, do we really need to spend more time trying to do this thing or in this ministry or go to these people or do this or do that? We keep trying and it's not working. I might find myself grumbling sometimes. I imagine you may have found yourself in this position too. Even wondering so much as to say, could God really save that person? Could that person truly be someone that we would rejoice over being in heaven with us? I mean, do you know how bad they are? I mean, look at Pastor Brubaker. He's just the worst. There are times when we would grumble about any number of people that God would seem to say, this person is dearly loved by me. We're not just talking about obscure sheep or coins. We're talking about individuals throughout the world. God loves every member of his creation. God continues to send out his church on earth, to send out his Holy Spirit, to send the light into the world that more may be found. He continues to raise up other good shepherds to go out and preach the good news and look for those who need to be brought back into the fold. God continues to use you to deliver this message of love and joy to the whole world, that everyone might be brought to the true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we might rejoice over all those he calls to be with him. And so today at a baptism, every single day you remember yourself as a baptized child of God. Rejoice over that. You can rejoice over you, over beautiful babies. You can rejoice over your family members in Christ. Have great joy. God has numbered you among those he dearly loves, those who he would look foolish to leave others behind, so he would seek after you. And know that he's calling you to the same wonderful, joyful mission, to seek and save the lost, to gather around all of God's people and God's church on earth to rejoice over each and every one that is saved. It's good and wonderful for us to do this through our support of missions and missionaries abroad, whether there are newly minted Pastor Schmidt, whether there are other great LAMP ministers, whether they're like the minister that I got to meet who's working down in Arizona with Native Americans there, whether they're people who are working over in Africa or all throughout the world, or whether or not they're local missions, whether it's people who are working nearby in Portland, here in Damascus, whether it's you working on your neighbors or your family members to tell them that God loves them. We rejoice over all of the work that God is doing. We rejoice that we have a God who's willing to do the work, in fact. We have a God. We have a shepherd. We have a light that continues to go out into the world to seek and save the lost. Rejoice. God loves you. God loves each and every one of his creation. And we will continue to look forward to him bringing more people into our family here on earth, more brothers and sisters. We will seek to ask him to help us when we grumble in our hearts against his choices and his decisions, perhaps. But most of all, we will rejoice, knowing that we have a God who loves us dearly, who sent Jesus to pay for our sins and to give us this new life, this new hope, and this new joy. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.